Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Yom Rabbi Avram Goldar and today Mezakas Yavamis Daf Kuf Ches, the 13th Perek Beis Shammai. So the three daves we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a braisa, Ezuhu Mun. What is considered Mun? Amra Yevshi Beponi Bali. She said, I do not want poni my husband. Or Yevshi Bekedushin. She kedushuni mi va'achai. I don't want the kedushin that my mother or my brothers arranged for me. Rav Yudah said, it's Mun. Even she said this while being carried in the bridal chair from her father's home to her husband's home to go to the chuppah. Rashi explains that we accept her words even though she could have simply gotten down from the chair and left. Rav Yudah said it's even mean if she said it while serving guests who were reclining in her husband's home and she's serving them drinks. Rashi explains that it's valid even though it was not said in front of Beis Din and the guest she told might have not shared it with anybody, assuming it was said confidentially. Rav Yudah said it's even mean if she said it to the storekeeper that her husband had sent her to in order to bring an item. There's no greater mune than this. Rashi explains that it is valid, even though it was said only to the storekeeper, and one might have thought she's just complaining that her husband sent her. Point number two is Tana Braisa, Katana Shomeana Ba'amda Venises. If a Katana who did not do mune arose and remarried, they said in the name of Yudah Ben Becerra that Nehusea and Henmeaneha, her marriage is her mune. When the Gemara asks whether her accepting kedushin from another man would be regarded as a form of miyun, it brings up Rice where it was said in the name of Yehuda ben Becerra that kedusha hen me'onel, her kedushin is her miyun. The Gemara brings a series of questions to determine whether the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and if so, to what degree, and concludes that since Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that this implies that the Rabbanan disagree with him and hold that with regard to both Kedushin and Nisuin, the Ketana must first verbally refuse her husband. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Nasal get behachzira, if her husband gave her a get and then remarried her, Mianabo benisiz la'achar benisarmol oniskarsha, and she then did miun and married another man and was widowed and divorced by the second husband, Muteres lachzira, she is permitted to return to her first husband. Rashi explains that even though if she had not initially returned to her first husband before doing miun, and she'd become divorced from her second husband, she would have remained asur to her first husband. The fact that she did miun reveals that in fact she's a katana who's not subject to kedushin, and nullifies the get so that it is not viewed as remarrying his divorcee after she married someone else. However, if she had done miun with her first husband, who then remarried her, and then he gave her a get, and she married another man, and was subsequently widowed or divorced from him, asura lachzuro, she's forbidden to return to her first husband. Zekwal, this is the rule. Get achar miun, asura lachzuro, miun achar get, muteres lachzuro. In a case where a get follows miun, she is forbidden to return to him. In a case where miun follows a get, she is permitted to return to him. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in Braisa, ezuhu miun, what is considered miun? Amra yevshi beponi bali. She said, I do not want poni my husband. Or yevshi bekedushin. She kedushuni mi va'achai. I don't want the kedushin that my mother or my brothers arranged for me. Rav Yudah said, it's miun. Even she said this while being carried in the bridal chair from her father's home to her husband's home to go to the chuppah. Rashi explains that we accept her words even though she could have simply gotten down from the chair and left. Rav Yudah said, it's even miun if she said it while serving guests who were reclining in her husband's home and she's serving them drinks. Rashi explains that it's valid, even though it was not said in front of Beis Din, and the guest she told might have not shared it with anybody, assuming it was said confidentially. Rav Yudah said, it's even mune if she said it to the storekeeper that her husband had sent her to, in order to bring an item. Enocha mune, gadu mezeh, there's no greater mune than this. Rashi explains that it is valid, even though it was said only to the storekeeper, and one might have thought she's just complaining that her husband sent her. Point number two is Tana Braisa, Katana Shomeana Ba'amda Venises. If a Katana who did not do mune arose and remarried, they said in the name of Yehuda ben Becerra that Nehusea and Henmeaneha, her marriage is her miun. When the Gemara asks whether her accepting kedushin from another man would be regarded as a form of miun, it brings up Rice where it was said in the name of Yehuda ben Becerra that kedusha henmeaneha, her kedushin is her miun. The Gemara brings a series of questions to determine whether the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and if so, to what degree, and concludes that since Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that this implies that the Rabbanan disagree with him and hold that with regard to both Kedushin and Nisuin, the Ketana must first verbally refuse her husband. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Nasal get behachzira, if her husband gave her a get and then remarried her, Mianabo benisiz la'achar benisarmol oniskarsha, and she then did miun and married another man and was widowed and divorced by the second husband, Muteres lachzuro, she is permitted to return to her first husband. Rashi explains that even though if she had not initially returned to her first husband before doing miun, and she'd become divorced from her second husband, she would have remained asur to her first husband. The fact that she did miun reveals that in fact she's a katana who's not subject to kedushin, and nullifies the get so that it is not viewed as remarrying his divorcee after she married someone else. However, if she had done mune with her first husband, who then remarried her, and then he gave her a get, and she married another man, and was subsequently widowed or divorced from him, asura lachzuro, she's forbidden to return to her first husband. Zekwal, this is the rule. Get acher mune, asura lachzuro, mune acher get, muteres lachzuro. In a case where a get follows mune, she is forbidden to return to him. In a case where mune follows a get, she is permitted to return to him. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Ches, and this Siman was suggested to us by Mordechai Slovin from Ramat Beit Shemesh and by Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York. They both suggested Kuf Ches is a pickpocket because it relates to taking. So here goes. The Katana married to a pickpocket who had just done mune in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in begging the storekeeper to be mekadesher as a form of mune. And he refused because he knew that a mune after a get would uproot her earlier marriage and that she'd be allowed to go back to her husband. Once again, slow motion. The Katana married to a pickpocket. Pickpocket? That must be on Daf Kuf Ches. The Katana married to a pickpocket who just done mune in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Ezu mune. What is considered mune? Amri Evshe Beponi Bali. She said, I do not want Poni my husband, or Evshe Bekedushin Shekidshuni Imi Va'achai. I do not want the Kedushin that my mother or my brothers arranged for me. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's even mune if she said to the storekeeper that her husband had sent her to in order to bring an item. There's no greater mian than this. Rashi explains that it is valid even though it was only said to a storekeeper, and one might have thought that she is just complaining that her husband sent her. So, the Katana married to a pickpocket who just done mune in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in begging the storekeeper to be mekadesher as a form of mune, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Katana shalomi ana ve'amda v'niseis, if a Katana who did not do mune arose and remarried, they said in the name of Yehuda ben Beser that nisuela and hemianela, her marriage is her mion. When the Gemara asks whether her accepting kedushin from another man would be regarded as a form of mion, it brings a bright where it was said in the name of Yehuda ben Beser that kedushah hen meonel. Her kedushin is her mion. So the Katana married to a pickpocket who just done mion in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in begging the storekeeper to be mekadesher as a form of mion. And he refused because he knew that a mion after a get would uproot her earlier marriage and that she'd be allowed to go back to her husband, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the call. Get acher mion, asura lachzuro, mion acher get, muteres lachzuro. In a case where a get follows mion, she's forbidden to return to her first husband. In a case where mion follows a get, she is permitted to return to him. So once again, the Katana married to a pickpocket who just done mion in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in begging the storekeeper to be mekadesher as a form of mion. And he refused because he knew that mion after a get would uproot her earlier marriage and that she'd be allowed to go back to her husband. All right, now it's time for Four Blah Bach Hazara. Daf Kuf Dalet. So this in Daf Kuf Dalet is a code. So here goes. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code. Code? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Dalet. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, the chalitza performed at night is kasher, but Rabbi Lezer rules it's pasula. The Gemara seeks to define what the machlokes is based on. It concludes, Mar Sover Chalitza Ketchilas Dindamya, or Mar Sover Chalitza Gemar Dindamya. Rabbi Lezer holds that a chalitza is compared to the beginning of a trial and is therefore invalid if done at night. The Tanna Kamma holds the chalitza is comparable to the conclusion of a trial and is therefore valid if performed at night. So the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of chalitza and spit, which reminds us, if the Yavama removed the shua and recited the psukim but did not spit, Rabbi Lezer says the chalitza is invalid, but Rabbi Akiva says the chalitza is valid. Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk in the parsha of chalitza says, Kacha yeyaseh, so shall it be done, kol davar shemaisa ma'akev, which implies that anything that is an action is essential. Therefore, if the Yavama does not spit, the chalitza is invalid. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Lezer, Misham raya, from there you bring a proof. The pasuk says, Kacha yeyaseh le'ish, so shall be done to the man, kol davar shemaisa be'ish, which implies kol davar shemaisa be'ish, anything that is an action that involves a man is essential. This excludes the spitting, which is done by the Yavama. So, the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of a chalitza and spit, while the Elam, who could not perform chalitza because he was not fit to speak, stood outside to guard. Which reminds us, the chalitza of an Elam and Elemis, a mute man or a mute woman, is invalid. And the first part of a Mishnah, which rules that chalitza is valid even when there's no kriya, follows the opinion of Rabbi Zer, who said, Kol ru'i l'bila ein bila ma'akeves, kol she'ein ru'i l'bila, bila ma'akeves. Regarding any mincha that's fit for blending, blending is not essential to it, and the mincha is valid without the blending. And any mincha that's not fit for blending, blending is essential, and not blending the ingredients invalidates the mincha. Similarly, if the yavam and yavama are fit to speak, the actual kriya is not ma'akev to the chalitza. But if one of them are not fit to speak, the chalitza is invalid. Daf Kuf Hei, so the simmer Daf Kuf Hei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian hacker, that must be more Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed, which reminds us, Rabbi said that the sin of Beis Eli cannot be atoned for by a carbon on mincha of a miskaper who would divrei Torah, but it can be atoned for with Torah learning. Abai said it can be atoned for with acts of chesed. Rabbi and Abai were both descendants from the house of Eli. Rabbi, who engaged in Torah learning, lived 40 years. Abai, who engaged in both Torah and chesed, lived for 60 years. Abai said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed that there was a family in Yerushalayim whose members would die when they reached the age of 18. He suspected they were from Beis Eli and told them, go and engage in Torah and live, which they did. So the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying looking down, while his words floated up, which reminds us there was a machlokes based on psukim whether one should daven with their eyes downward toward Eretz Yisrael or upwards toward Shemayim. When Mishmael Rabbi Yossi heard what was being discussed, he said that his father Rabbi Yossi had said, one who davens needs to direct his eyes downward and his heart upward so that one can fulfill both psukim. The Marshal explains that Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shekhinah left Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. Therefore, one's thoughts should be directed toward Shemayim. But since some of the Shekhinah remains in Eretz Yisrael, his eyes should be directed downwards towards it. So the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying, looking down while his words floated up, a heavy-set rabbi slowly walked to the front of the class. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates the exchange between Abdan and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi when Rabbi Shmuel, who was heavy-set, entered Rabbi Shir, and it appeared as if he was stepping over the heads of others who were already seated. Later, Rabbi Shmuel clarified to Rabbi that his father, Rabbi Yossi, ruled based on the word ish in the pasuk that the yavam must be an adult, aval isha ben gadol ben katan, but a woman can be an adult or a minor to perform chalitza. Daf kufav, so the sim daf kufav is a tightrope walker walking a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be our daf kufav, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, chalitza mute is kashera, a mistaken chalitza is valid. And Rabbi Yochanan explains, this is wherever they tell the yavam, perform chalitza with her on condition that she'll give you masayim zuz. But she clarifies that making an act contingent on a condition is learned out from the Tanai B'nai Gad Mein Reuven. Since that act was made possible through a shaliach, referring to Yeshua, so too the act must be possible to carry out through a shaliach. Since chalitza cannot be performed through a shliach, it cannot be made conditional based on a tanai. Therefore, the chalitza is valid even though the yavama did not fulfill the tanai. So, the tightrope walker who walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza was dismayed when all he found was a chalitza document with the entire parsha on it. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how the psukim are written in the chalitza document given to the chalitza. Abai holds that since the parchment was not scored, only the beginning of each pasuk could be written on it. Rashi explains that a parchment that's not scored cannot have four consecutive words written on it, since one may only write psukim as part of an entire Sefer Torah. Marzut would score lines in the parchment and write the entire parsha of a chalitza on it. In the case of a chalitza document, the kavanah is merely for a sipur dvarim, to relate the chalitza procedure, and it has no kedusha, and since it's written for the mitzvah, it's permitted to write the whole parsha. So the tightrope walker walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza was dismayed when all he found was a chalitza document with the entire parsha on it. And then almost fell off when the yavama on stilts spit towards her short yavam, and the wind carried the spittle his way. Which reminds us, Abai said, if the yavama spat and the wind carried the spit away before it reached the yavam, she has not accomplished anything. This is because we require the fulfillment of the pasuk, v'yarka b'fanav, and she shall spit before him, which implies that the spit must come before the yavam. Therefore, if he's tall and she is short, and the wind carries away the spit, eka b'fanav, there is the fulfillment of spitting before him. But if she is tall and he is short, and the wind carries away the spit, we require that the spittle first reach level with his face, and then go away with the wind. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The waiter serving couscous after a chuppah was shocked when the Kala Katana did miyun while throwing couscous at her chasim, which reminds us the opening mission of the 13th parrot brings four machlokasim between Beisham and Beisil regarding miyun. Beisham may say, Ein memanin el arusas, we may only arrange miyun for arusas, but Beisil will say, arusas v'nesuas, miyun may be arranged for arusas and nesuas. But you said in the name of Shmuel that Beisham's reason is, Refisha ein tanai b'nesuin, because no tanai is binding with a nesuin involving an adult woman. If a minor who is fully married is permitted to perform miyun, people come to think yesh tanai b'nesuin, that a tanai is still binding with regard to marriage of an adult woman, since it looks as if the minor's marriage is being annulled because of some tanai that was not fulfilled. Beis Hillel are not concerned, for they say people know that the marriage of a minor girl is only the rabbanan and that it's annulled through miyun. Three more interpretations are brought for this machlokas. So the waiter serving couscous after a chuppah was shocked when the Kala Katana did miyun while throwing couscous at her chasim. And unlike a get, she actively said, which reminds us, Rav said, if a minor Yavama did miyun to one brother, she's prohibited to the other brother. This is comparable to when a Yavama received a get from one brother, she becomes prohibited to all the brothers. But Shmuel said, if a minor Yavama did miyun with one brother, she's permitted to the other brother. This is not similar to a Yavama who receives a get, for in that case, it's the Yavam who's giving the get. Whereas here, in regard to miyun, it's the minor who's doing the action and saying, I do not want you, and I do not desire you. This implies that she's saying, I do not want you, but I do want your brother. Ravasi said, Miyana bezem muteres afilo lo, that if she did miyun to the Yavam, she is still permitted to him. So the waiter serving couscous after a chuppah was shocked when the Kala Katana did miyun while throwing couscous at her chosen. And unlike a get, she actively said, Lorainubach, but what's the Venubach? Making her chasen, the camel driver, so mad that he needed to be tied with two knots. Which reminds us, even though Beis Shammai hold that miyun must be done before the husband, the Rabbanan permitted Pishon, the camel driver's wife, to do miyun not in his presence, because he behaved improperly and destroyed her nixim elug. The Gemara asks how she could perform miyun, since the husband only has rights in the nixim elug after nesuin, and Beis Shammai does not permit a nesua to do miyun. The Gemara answers straight, Kitri Avdubei. They knotted him with two knots, meaning they granted a double dispensation to his wife, and also had her do miyun, even though she was a nesua. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.